everything that's taken place this morning has lined up with everything that God has been speaking to my heart this week. And if I seem antsy, it's because I'm excited. I'm excited what God's doing. I'm just thrilled and tickled. Even with the songs that we're singing, some of the prayers that were prayed, everything that is happening, and you guys will see soon, everything that is happening right now has to do with what we're going to talk about today. And it's a God thing. You know, that's all I can say. When I came in and I heard the music and heard the prayers, all I could say was thank you, Jesus. That's it. You know, I want to read in John some scripture that God laid on my heart. It says, starting in John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."
Amen.
And I want to end it there. How many of you guys have seen the catastrophic move of what a tornado can do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys have seen it firsthand in Adairsville. It destroys and levels everything in its path. You know, and I was watching the Japan tsunami last night, and when the earthquake came, it shook buildings. Mm. I mean, they was literally just shaking. You know, praise God they didn't fall, but they was just shaking. You could see them in the cameras just moving.
Mm.
And when the waves came in and the ocean tide came in, you know, these are 45-foot waves. They come in, they just level everything. Everything in their path, there's, you know, nothing able to stand what, you know, what that tsunami done. The earthquake was bad enough, but the tsunami made it, you know, 10 times worse. You know, at least they had a house to go to after the earthquake, and it might have, you know, needed some repair, but the tsunami tore it apart. You know, and a volcano wipes, you know, these catastrophic things wipes out everything in their path, you know. And when I got looking and thinking about that, you know, that's what the enemy does. That's what he tries to do in our lives. He tries to wipe out everything he possibly can. You know, and I was, you know, thinking about that on the way here this morning. I thought, Lord, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, some people, you know, mostly, you know, and this is what God was showing me. You take someone like that's living worldly. They have an addiction problem. They can lay that problem down. Why? They're still living worldly. They don't have to really fight. See, when you're a believer and you have a problem, it doesn't just become the addiction, but it comes spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
See, Satan is constantly attacking. And now we're not fighting flesh and blood, which is hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting principality and powers. So now we're fighting the enemy. You know, what is... And this is awesome that we did the group session. I just want, you know, somebody, you know, here, maybe you're going through something right now. What are some things that has catastrophically just changed? It looks like your life's, you know, in shambles. You know, does anybody have anything, you know, far as that goes?
Medical issues, physical issues that change complete aspects of your life. You can no longer do some things or can no longer enjoy some things. That can really, if your way of life has changed, the things you're used to doing, the things you're used to enjoying, if that is changed, it can overshadow. And it can also open up a crack in your life where Satan can torment you. You see you can't do that anymore. See you can't enjoy that anymore. See that in a life will never be the same. And what I deal with is where he tries to make me hopeless, where how life is right now, that's the way it will always be.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is catastrophic, when there's like an undercurrent of something trying to take me away from my happiness, take me away from my faith and my love in the Lord. That to me is catastrophic, because it affects everything I think, it affects my attitude, it affects how I see everything. So to me, that's catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Yeah. You know, I was saying Tuesday night on this same line of how last week I had a lost a friend who died. You know, they just found him in the bed and he was dead. You know, 1 week he was fine. Well, he was going through a few things. They thought it was kidney stones. And then 3-4 days later, he had surgery. They didn't find anything. 3-4 days later, they found him dead. And I shared Tuesday night of how, you know, sometimes we can be like up here. You know, we're like on the mountaintop and everything's going great. But what we don't think about a lot of times is what I get out of that, and what Chad's, the scriptures, you know, abiding in him. And listen to this word, what that abide means. And everybody may know it or may not, but it comes from the word menio, a verb from the Greek, and it says to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. Abide, continual, dwell, endure, there's one, enduring, be present, remain, stand, tarry, any of these words, you know, can that mean? But what I, you know, was thinking about there is that abide in him and in the vine, because there's going to be those times you don't really, you're never always up here, are we? On the mountaintop. One day your car can be running fine, man. It can be just, you're sitting there in the driveway and it's like, whoop, whoop, right? I mean, just, and then the next day you're up in smoke and Dixie. All right, and that's just an example, because these over there, I know he's still thinking about it, but you know what I'm saying, though? It's like 1 minute you can be here and you have a friend who's just lost a loved one. Then all of a sudden you're just like, man. Or it can happen to you or your family. So it's so important, like we started earlier talking about being in him,
mm-hmm.
abiding in him.
That's right.
To where when that comes, you're okay. You're able to spiritually walk through it and stay strong enough, because it's the faint and weak that don't survive a lot of times in that valley of shadow of death, or whatever it is in your life, in that, and it's so important. It can be catastrophic.
Yeah,
I know for me, in my experience, and what I was leading to is when we lost our babies, it devastated me. That was a time in my life that just destroyed me for a long time. You know, I felt like everything just, I didn't want to live. You know, I just wanted to say, this life ain't no good. I don't even want to be in it. And I've been serving the Lord for, at that time, I don't know, 17 years or so by then, I guess. So it makes me think of where it says in the scripture, take heed lest you fall. But then the rest of the best part of that scripture, and it says, there's no temptation such as common to man, that with that temptation, God is faithful. He's faithful to make a way of escape or a way that we can bear that temptation, whatever it might be. And so to me, if I hadn't have been plugged in at all with the Lord, oh, in that time in my life when we lost our babies, that I don't know where I'd have been. I know we'd have been divorced because I was about ready to go nuts again, and go back, you know, to what I knew, the BC days, and just, you know, get everything out of this head and just fill it with something that was pleasing, I thought, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever it might have been at that time. So this is important stuff, you know, you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that, you know, that God gave me an illustrated sermon, I guess you will. It's over by their house, out in the middle of the field. There's this huge, huge oak tree. Big old oak tree. And sheer winds came through and knocked this thing over. And this thing's laying, you know, it looks like dried up old firewood laying out there. Last year, in the spring, I was driving by. And I don't know if it is this year, but last year, this thing's blooming. This thing's got buds all over it. It's got trees, or it's got leaves growing on it. I mean, you probably remember it. Laying over, dead. I mean, from, you know, the winter months is what it looked like. That's just old firewood. Let's cut it up. But this thing was blooming.
Wow.
Laid over.
Rude and Jesse.
You know, and God said, if you will remain in me, if you will stay rooted in me, just like this tree,
wow,
you will bear fruit. You will bear much fruit.
Wow.
You know, and that's what I want for you. And that's what I want you to tell my people. When they are going through the pits of hell, to remain in me. Irregardless of what they see. Because what you saw before the springtime come looked like it was death.
Yes.
You know, in our lives, that's sometimes that's what we're looking at. We're looking at death in the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we remain true and we say, you know what, God, whatever comes, whatever trial comes, whatever temptation comes, whatever happens, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to place my life, my trust, my will, my mind, my emotions, my body. I'm going to trust in you to take care of those things. When we're hit with sickness that comes on our body, Father, your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. I'm just going to trust that with you. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what the doctor says. I'm trusting you with what you say. And with that, we will bear the fruit that he is talking about. He said it's for his glory that we bear that fruit.
That's right.
Okay? If it's for God's glory that for us to be prosperous, for us to be healed, don't you? He wants us to have that.
Mm.
You know, a lot of the problem is people don't understand that. They don't get it. You know, they think they're supposed to be way down here low, you know, lowly. No, God wants you blessed. He wants you healthy. He wants you looking great because it glorifies Him. See, I have people telling me all the time that I'm blessed. You know, not saying anything that I've done because I have to point right back to God. It's God. You know, how do you do it? You've got all these kids. How do you manage? I don't know. I don't know. I just try to stay true to what God has done in me. I try to stay true to my Father. You know, and my biggest desire was not to be one that didn't live it. You know, this is something that I want to do day in, day out. You know, that's my heart's desire. I want to serve God and be real with it. Not some phony. I don't, you know, and I've nothing against it, but I've heard about, you know, and this is just something God birthed in me when I was real, just a baby Christian, you know, these big high-end pastors, you know, and I'm nothing against them. They're reaching a lot of people, but getting paid, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars, you know, to go out, and they're accredited to it. Even Paul talks about that they're accredited to it, but as far as me and my heart, it is a privilege to even sit here before you all and to even share the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege. And I thank God that I'm just able to do that. You know, and I thank God that He's placed a Word in my heart to where I can give it away, because I know God like I know this Word. When I give this Word to you guys, God's going to pour something else new. There's something fresh coming.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to pour out what I get to all of you so that God can fill me. So I want to remain in Him. I want to remain in the vine. I want to remain in Christ. And irregardless of what it looks like, I know you all do too. But just like you said last week, when you're going through it, when you're going through the trials and you're going through the tribulations, you forget stuff like this. You forget the simple truths of the Bible.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, it tends to just go away. You're like, help me, Lord. You know, I'm going through the fire right now. Mm-hmm. You know, God's turned His back on me. You know, and that's the way Jesus felt. That's why He had to experience it. My God, why did You forsake me? So God, so He could understand it when we get to that point. You know, and He understands it more than any of us could ever understand it. I mean, you go to somebody that's religious and tell them that you're having doubts and you're having things about God and you're having this, they're going to crucify you and nail you to a wall. But you go to a brother in Christ, and I went to Ronnie with it. You go to a brother in Christ and say, look, I've got these things going on. I don't understand this. I've got doubts going on in my mind I've never had before. I'm doubting the existence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? I don't get it. It just keeps coming. It keeps pouring into me. I don't know why. You know, and it bothers me that it's coming. I know what God did for me. I know how much He delivered me from. Why is this happening? And it's like Ronnie said to me, and it's really touched my life. He said, Chad, he said, God created you to be a thinker. And I would dare to say that if you didn't ever doubt anything of God, I would call you religious. I would say you was religious.
That's true.
Because God created you to think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And God says to test the Spirit. He says test people. Go in the Word and test it. You know? God is willing and able, as soon as you throw your faith out there and your trust out there, that somebody needs a healing. Okay? What do I do? If you will be obedient and step out and say, God, I'm going to trust that You're going to do what You say You're going to do. This is where people like Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm not into his book, you know, as much as I was, but this is where people like those people, this is where they got to. They just did it as a child.
In faith.
Yes.
They just jumped out there. Say, God, I want to trust You with what Your Word says,
right?
Irregardless of the outcome, I want to just trust You.
Leave it with Him, yes.
And that's what they would do. You know, I trust fully that You're going to heal them. And he would go with the expectations of complete healing or whatever it may be. You know, people being raised from the dead. I'm just going to trust You with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I've heard, you know, I've heard believers talk, or, you know, other people, older people, and none of you guys, but older people that's in the walk, say that, God's got to build you up to that. God's got to build you up to that.
Mm.
Well, does He really? Mm-mm. Does He really got to build you? Or does it take one act of faith?
That's right.
Come on.
Is it something that you need to be built up with? Or can God do it just right then, right there?
Yes.
That's right.
You know? And I know their meaning was to make me feel good, but that's not what The Bible says.
That's right.
Not only believe. That's right.
And that'll get you into a form of religion.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not there. No, God said, you are there. Go.
Yes.
Period. You are there. Go. You know, and you will bear fruit. Yes. If you remain in me. We can't do this alone. We can't do this without him. The sons of Sceva, what did they do? They tried to cast out demons and they got whipped. Mm-hmm. They got stripped and beat and sent off. Because they tried to do it without him.
Mm-hmm.
But if we will do it through him, for his glory, because that's what it's for. You know, why do you think you hear when I pray sometimes for us to receive so that we can give it to others? See, us to come in and receive a message is not just for us.
That's right.
It's for us to distribute it to the world.
Yes.
For us to distribute it in our workplaces. Allow people to hear what God is saying. And when you do that, God will pour in more. God will pour in more. Mm-hmm. Every time. He never fails.
That's right.
As he pours it in, you pour it out, he'll pour more in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, it's just like a constant flow. You're like a river flowing, and it's just coming, it's coming. You know, and I could walk outside and just look at stuff and look at nature and look at the way stuff grows. And, you know, if I'm pouring it out, God's pouring it in. He'll show me stuff, you know, in the woods, on the side of the road. Stuff that lines right up with his word, you know. That tree lined right up with that scripture.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and that's God just pulled it all together. See, I didn't receive that word when I saw that tree.
Mm-hmm.
It was until last week that I saw this word and remembered the tree.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So God brought it all together.
Yes.
And I told Ronnie, I said, Ronnie, I got a word.
Mm-hmm.
I got a word. It's a word of encouragement.
Yes.
No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, remain in him, remain true to him, and you will bear fruit. Irregardless of what it looks like. You plant a seed. You go out there every day. That seed's in the ground. You don't see anything.
That's right.
Eventually that seed's going to sprout up. But it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while. You don't throw grass on the ground, seed on the ground, and it grows in the next mm-hmm. day. It just don't happen. It takes a process. It takes time. You know, and that's what happens when we go through these things. And it's awesome that, yeah, I mean, you see what I'm talking about. It's awesome how that's what today has been about.
Yes.
It takes time through those trials, tribulations,
and
the persecutions that come. It takes time to grow to complete maturity. And that's what that seed is. Eventually, it will be a tall stalk of grass that you can run over with your lawnmower. You know. If the deer is not eating it up.
I see that every day at work. Ronnie's grass that he threw out, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think about that every day. I'm like, look at it, you know. There was just rock. And then now look at it. The lawnmower went over it the other day. And I'm like, man, look at that, you know.
pretty grass.
Yeah.
So, that's excellent. Well, and you know, you've got... There are two things that what you said made me think of. Number one, you reap what you sow more than you sow later than you sow. One seed does not give you one blade of grass. You know, you're throwing that out there, and it grows more than that.
That's good.
But more so, we're talking about abiding in Jesus. Abiding, staying, continuing, enduring. If we're not abiding in Jesus, what are we abiding in? That's what God is. Actually, we're abiding in the situation.
That's right.
We think of it not that we're not abiding in Jesus. We're abiding in our hopelessness. We're abiding in our anger. We're abiding in our sorrow. Mm-hmm. We're abiding in the workplace incident. Whatever we're continuing to revisit over and over again, that's what we're abiding in. You know, like when you're having a struggle forgiving somebody, it keeps coming back over and over again. And you don't just only feel the emotions. You start reliving the incident that caused it. You're abiding. Anything you return to over and over again, or you stay mired in, that's what you're abiding in. So that's what God just showed me when you were talking. Where are we abiding? We are abiding somewhere, but where? If we're abiding in what someone did to us or a situation and what it's doing to us, we're not abiding in Jesus. If we're continually remembering, thinking of Him, remembering He is supreme and sovereign, that He is the God that controls everything, when it's His word and His thoughts and His way of seeing things, if that's what we're living in, then we're abiding in Him. But if we're not, then we're abiding somewhere else. And we've got to ask ourselves, where are we abiding?
I was thinking about that yesterday. I do have a struggle, and you're not going to be surprised to hear it. Well, Facebook. He's been telling me for the last 6 months, you're addicted to that thing. You're addicted, because I play games on that stupid thing.
Online game.
And some days, I mean, honestly, I've spent weekends just sitting here playing these games, and it's been coming to a head last few weeks. You'll be glad to hear. But there were some questions that God asked me. He told me to think about. First one is, okay, what are you doing right now? Okay. If I'm sitting here playing this game, what are you accomplishing? I guess I'm just entertaining myself. What good is it? What are you doing for me? What are you doing for your husband? Are you at least cleaning your house? I mean, what good is it sitting here with your laptop on your lap 4 or 5 hours a day? What could you be doing in that time? Imagine the things that people are missing out on. And then I see a picture, okay, when we're here, okay, what are you doing? Well, I'm spending time with you. What are you accomplishing? Spending time with you. I'm being ministered to, I'm a ministry. Compare the two. Now, obviously, what should you be doing? And I'm thinking, oh, God. So, there's been 3 or 4 days this week. It's like, okay, just don't pick it up. And something would always happen. One day it was Austin saying, okay, I need help with something, and I had to turn on the computer and search the web to find it. Next thing I knew, when I was done,
there you are.
Yep.
Facebook.
Candy Crush. Here I go.
Ouch.
No looking at your partners allowed.
I play like 30 minutes a day.
Deeper. It's like, okay, how am I truly abiding in Him when my mind is not on Him in any way, shape, or form? It's in this mindless addiction. And what was the whole point in it anyway? This might not touch anybody else in any way, but it was passing time. I had no idea whatsoever that I'm competitive until now. And I'm at the end of Candy Crush waiting on, okay, open
up. Whatever it is.
Open up some more.
No, she's hit the roadblock.
I hit the very end of it.
Yeah, and she's waiting for him
to make more
so she can go further.
And it's like, okay, at some point this becomes an addiction.
Yes.
That's good.
It's insanity. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
What that means, right? But we don't think about it, what it really is in us. It's insanity. No matter what it is.
Doing the same thing over and over. Well, we're expecting something
different. Yeah, this time I'm just going to play it, a few minutes. And, oh, man, it's already so-and-so. I've been on here 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, let me ask everybody this, because my issue is not games. My issue is Netflix or watching episodes of something. But
TV in general.
TV.
Well, I don't like TV, but whatever it is.
The TV brings the Netflix.
The
movies, entertainment.
Movies.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with us having entertainment.
Right.
But what we have to realize is, when we are, I guess, abiding in it, right? Isn't that it? When we're continuing, when it becomes what we're staying in, and we should not feel bad for doing things that we enjoy, but we also have to acknowledge when it becomes an addiction, an obsession, or a distraction.
It is controlling us.
Yes, when it is controlling us, it it's hard to draw a line. It's very, very hard to draw a line.
When it goes up in smoke.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
It doesn't matter. It can be racing, it can be golfing.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ronnie, is it yours driving a bulldozer? I doubt it.
Yeah. No, what Andrew just said is really very, good. You get into something, and God will take stuff away from us when it gets too much sometimes. Or he will intervene. He will do an intervention. Whether it's with a race car or a TV or a computer or a game or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about racing because, God knows it's one of my hang-ups, that I love. And when I started, when I was racing carts and I was called into ministry, I thought I could do both,
Oh, Tom, tell them what happened.
Well, God shut me down. In the long run was, I just got a brand new cart. I was running up front and stuff, winning some races, that stuff. I thought I had it under control, right? And I could do this and balance this thing. And God had called me in the weekend. I should be doing outreach and different things. Well, long story short was, I was winning a race, and this guy got into me, and come into the pits, and we tore both of us up a little bit, and then the next thing you know, I'm in a fight in the pits, and here I am, supposed to be praising Jesus and all this stuff, I wasn't turning another cheek that night, okay? And so God just put me on a big old checklist of what are you doing, I'm not called you to be doing this. I made you fisher of men, Even before it was fishing. So it can be a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But now, God, it took me how many years since that was?
That was 97.
So all them years, and I kept praying, Lord, I love racing all them years. It's like, no racing for you, Ronnie. All them years, and then I kept praying because I love it, Lord, if you see fit, if a car comes up, I'd love to race one more time before I die. I get to O. He opened the door finally. He said, okay, he's given me this amount of trust again, but I realize this now. It cannot manage me, mm-hmm. and I can't manage it. I got to trust God with it and say, okay, it's not the main focus of my life. It's God first, my family, my wife, everything second, and ministry and what he's called me to do. And racing's on down here at 4 right now and 5, somewhere in there. So, but that's what we have to sometimes do, is to face reality. And our addictions, our compulsive behaviors, obsessions, hang-ups we call it in Celebrate Recovery, that I know that's a part that's unmanageable. If I get too carried away, I'll be out of control. And he'll tell you, he can take it away from us. Mm-hmm. So we got to honor, that. Things, we're so carnal because we're
made of flesh.
Yeah, but then we're still, we have so much access to the carnal world now from internet. You know what? We were all worried about all that. We didn't need that internet this morning, really.
We don't need no stinking internet.
I know, but we think we need those things. But used to, they didn't have one of these. They didn't have a microphone. They just acapella and praise Jesus, right? Now they did have harps and all that, but not all the time. So we get hung up, don't we?
Yeah. You remember what happened in the upper room experience, right? They didn't have all that, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Absolutely.
What did they have? They had a heart to serve, a heart to please God, to go after God, and to, get in the vine, like you're saying there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, you've got two different kinds of distractions. You've got the fun kind of distraction that you just do because you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Then you have a distraction that you want to distract yourself from what you're thinking, what you're feeling, from what the situation that's going on in your life. And that, I think, becomes the more dangerous distraction. For me, I can get, if I don't want to think about what's going on, I can just lose myself in episode after episode after episode of something that completely distracts me. Or through programming. Oh my gosh. I do that and did do that for hours and hours and hours because I'm accomplishing something, but am I really doing what God wants me to do? Or am I just doing it because it makes me feel good and it gets me away from things I don't want to think about and emotions I don't want to feel? So really, I think God's calling us to ask Him to be mindful about how we spend our days, how we spend our times. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy ourselves or do things we enjoy, but ask yourself and ask the Lord, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why am I wanting to do this? And is there something else you would rather me do than this right now? And I think that would be very pleasing to Him.
And sometimes He's going to tell you it's time to rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Fishing all day.
That's right. Yeah, it's true. He will. He'll say, just go.
Yep, there is time for rest. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're creatures of habit too, you know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's two things over here we're kind of talking about. Is that, you know, like you say, our flesh and... But also, that you started out with the catastrophic thing of how important it is to be, abide in Him, because those times will come, mm-hmm. too. So, you know, back to where I was sharing, you know, we spend most of our life, we're not up here on the mountaintop, are we? We're somewhere in between the middle and the bottom of life, living in realities. Right, and you know,
you get too high, you get knocked back down.
Yeah, well, and Oswald Chambers, that's who he's normally reading from, said something that really made a profound difference in my life. Two things. Number one, he said the mark of a true Christian is not when he's up on the mountaintop or down in the valley. It's basically trudging through the mundane, everyday stuff where nothing is happening. Keeping on believing, keeping on living in Him, abiding in Him, when nothing big is going on. It's no high and no low. Those are the times when you're like, you want to create distractions for yourself, make something feel good for yourself.
Yes.
But that's what's really hard. And the second thing he says, you know, when you don't know what to do, you're seeking the Lord. And he truly lived by faith. Oswald Chambers, I mean, really, and he never, even though he was attacked, he was accused of raping a girl. He didn't even defend himself, nothing. But he said, when you're seeking the Lord, if you don't hear anything, do the last thing He told you. Continue to do the last thing He told you, and go on. Mm. And he says, have faith and do the next thing. That was his motto. Have faith and do the next thing. Sometimes it's just logical what's the next thing you need to do. Maybe the next thing to do is to put the clothes away. You know, maybe the next thing to do is to call somebody and talk to them. But whatever it is, if God hasn't given you something else, continue to do what you're doing. Have faith and do the next thing. Yeah. That makes it so simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, I needed that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What you got, Buck?
I was just thinking, felt like the tsunami and the tornadoes and stuff, you know, like I said, the Hilladares, well, it missed us by about 2 or 3 miles, thank God. But, you know, those people had worked, you know, a lot of those people had worked all their life to obtain these things, mm-hmm. and was devastated because they lost them. Mm-hmm. God don't care for us having things. God don't care mm-hmm. for us racing. God don't care for us that's watching right. TV or playing Candy Crush. But let's don't get devastated when something takes it away from us or yes. when something goes wrong. Because
that's good.
When we're devastated, our heart is not on God.
Yes.
Ooh. Our heart
good.
Was on the things we had. I mean, mm-hmm. I know yesterday I spent about 6 hours with my boss. He lives up in Jasper. I went up there and worked on his hot rod. He's got a S10 with a LT1 Corvette motor in it, and had to tear the front of the motor off, put the OptiSpark on it and all that stuff. And that S10, I mean, you look at my arms, you know, I get tore up, you know, I mean, scratched up. But I spent, you know, because he had got aggravated, he traded his Mustang for his thing, and he drove it a couple of times and it started acting up. And mm-hmm. I told that's him, you know, I said, don't worry about it. I said, it'll be all right, you know. So he, I said, we'll get it fixed, you know. So I went up there and I worked on it yesterday. And he was, honestly, he's not a Christian by no means, but he done got to the point where he was devastated. He was ready. He was going to get rid of that thing and lose his tail on it. But just calm down. We'll figure it out. So, you know, we put a new OptiSpark on it. And I fixed all new plug wires and everything. And got that thing, and we hit the starter, and it crunk up and run like a charm. And you could see him light up, you know. But our devastation sometimes, or being occupied with these things, takes our mind off of God. And then when it goes wrong, we're devastated and don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God don't care for us having these things. He just wants us to believe and trust in Him. And if something goes wrong and we lose it all, mm-hmm. I mean, we went through a bad situation several years back and we lost everything. Mm-hmm. When I say everything, I mean, we didn't have a car to drive. We didn't have a house to live in. We lost land that I inherited from my grandparents. We lost cars. We lost everything. And I was borderline devastated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't let those things show in me, you know. But I was borderline devastated, you know, and it hurt me. But it wasn't God's fault. It was stupid decisions that we made together and didn't trust God in.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, well, I ain't gonna say we didn't trust Him, but we didn't consult God in.
Uh-huh.
And it come back to bite us in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now, you know, I can honestly say that we may not have a house, we may not have land, but we are better off now than we was before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're even gonna get better because, you know, it woke us up and we had to trust God. I mean, we had to walk off and leave everything.
Mm-hmm.
We had our furniture and we had each other, and I had an old truck that my dad had given me. But, you know, we went to buy her paler lot and come up with enough money to get a car for her to drive. And we struggled and we struggled and we fought, but we came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be devastated in you motor smoke, and it may be something simple.
Yeah.
You know, don't be devastated that, you know, I can remember when the tornado come through in 94. 93 was the blizzard, 94. It hit our house. It hit where we live, me and my dad and all around there. And I had a neighbor, my dad's cousin, he had worked all his life, and he had boats, he had campers, he had old Mustangs, he had stuff. And that man was devastated to the point where he was contemplating suicide because he lost everything. Because
mm-hmm.
it wiped his sheds out, tore his Mustangs up, tore his old trucks up. Camper laying upside down, his boat, his pontoon tore up. Do not put that much mm-hmm. faith and that much in stuff.
Yes.
Amen.
You put God first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes.
Then all these things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you put God first, then the things that you love, the desires of your heart racing, He'll let it flow in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to make sure God's your focus.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So that I'm shutting up.
No, good.
That's all
good.
I got.
Word.
Thank you for sharing. Yes.
One other thing, I was reading a book, in this book, this was Satan talking to his demons. He said, you can't stop them from praying. You can't stop them from reading their Bible. You can't stop them from meeting at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't stop them from doing any of these things. You can't stop them from doing communion. You can't intervene with that. So what do? Keep them busy, little devils.
Yes.
Just keep them busy.
Keep them occupied.
Yes.
Keep them busy, devils. And that's what Satan was saying to his demons. Just keep them busy.
Mm-hmm.
Because like y'all said, you know, when we're busy, it does. It takes our focus off of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it puts it on these things. And then that's where it all, you know, then we're just lost. What to do? You know, and I think that's where God is pulling us. And it's cool how it's just us core group. God is pulling us into a direction where no other will go. Mm-hmm. You know, where no other people has gone. We're coming into a direction to where our focus is directly on Jesus and His people. That's what the ministry house is about. Mm-hmm. It's about God's glory. It's about His kingdom. It's about His people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe it with everything within me. That's what this ministry house is for. Mm-hmm. It is for that purpose. And everyone is getting pulled that is attached into that direction. Mm-hmm. And that's our vision. It's Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. We'll share this real quick now. Let Chad close us up here. Guys, we want you to, because this is all in the same line, staying focused on Him above everything. Last week was a little different, wasn't it? You know, some of you, we talked a little bit about it. We had speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. We had prophecy. We had a lot of things that hadn't had, just like we're having today is different. Okay, it's sitting down, teaching, ministry. I said that to say this, I don't want you to get caught up in anything other than keeping focus on Him. Okay?
Yes.
And if you don't understand stuff, it's okay. It's all right. We're all still... do you have all this figured out yet?
No.
You don't?
No.
What's wrong with you? What about you? You got all this yet? No. Okay. I don't either. So there's things we just have to take it and put it up on a shelf. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up in, ooh, Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Spiritual stuff. Let your mind be spiritually minded, but if you don't understand, it's okay. So I said that because we're going to have different all the time here. It's not going to be mundane church, all right? And so I don't want you to get caught up and get spooked or scared or any of that if things happen. But we got your back,
mm-hmm.
all right? If it's not of God...
We will shut it down.
It will be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like everything last week... Even though some wasn't understood about the tongues and that kind of stuff, and was online with God, even to the prophetic word and everything that was given. So mm-hmm. keep that in mind. And the last thing is, when I opened this up and Chad started reading, you know what popped out of me is all red letters, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus. But I just was looking for where He was, and all I seen was love, 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 love.
Yep.
Wow, oneness with the Father, role of the Holy Spirit, Jesus in the vine, followers are the branches, that's us, disciples, and Chad ended with disciples, relation to each other. That's the key, guys. We got to stay one mind, one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And what did He end with? The commandment
love.
Jesus gave, to love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this. Then He laid down His life for His friend. And then He goes on to say, you're my friend if you do what I command you. So, abide in Him. Do what He tells us. Our families will be blessed. Our lives will be blessed. We won't have doors slammed in our face. Because God will shut the door. If it's open and we don't walk through it, guess what? We missed that door.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually the other, I started to say Smith Wigglesworth, Oswald Chambers I read this morning. I thought this book had it in it, but it didn't. That was a different one, but worked too. But that's what he was talking about this morning while I was reading that. Doors will be shut. And if we're not on in tune, abiding in Him, we miss opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking this morning, I bet there's a lot of opportunities. But here's what I want to leave you with. God never wastes a hurt. God don't waste a hurt. And it's okay to remember our past.
We don't have to stay in it. But he never wastes the hurts, even when we're going through things, and we're going to go through them. So keep that in mind. Think about on the focus of love. Loving one another. Loving him. That's the first commandment, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, soul, and will. So thank you for everybody. And we're went a little over, but it's good. Close us out, brother, what you got, the word. Thank you for your word today. Anybody else got anything real quick?
No. Let's pray then. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, God. Lord, truly, God, this is your word, God. We're just mere men, Father, and we thank you for the opportunity, Father, just to share your word, God, with one another, God. Father, I ask you, Lord, that, Lord, already, God, I already know, Father, things have changed in our hearts, God. Things have changed in us, Father. Lord, and I ask you, God, to allow us to take this time, Father, to soak this up, God, throughout today, God, to where, Father, we could take this in our workplace, God. We could take this to people around us that doesn't know this, Father, and give this to them, Father. That Lord, we could give them the Jesus that is in us, Father, the Word that you have birthed in us, Father. And Lord, I ask you to help us to bring it out in ways, Father, that we couldn't even think of, Father, that it would just come out of us and flow freely, Father. Lord, to where we're able to minister to people, God. And see people, God, give their lives to you, Father. Lord, the people that I was able to minister to this week, Father, during the work time, Father, I thank you, God, that the seed is planted, Father, and that, Lord, that they're thinking about it, Father. And each and every one of us, God, as we minister to other people, Father, I thank you, God, for the patience and the endurance, Father, to see that, Lord, just like that seed of grass, Father, we're planting your word, Father, into their hearts, God, and irregardless of what we see or what the way they act, or irregardless of circumstances, Father, you are supreme and you are the King, Father. King of kings, Lord, and the Lord of lords, Father. I give you glory, God. I pray over each and every one here, Father. You would protect them this week, Father. Keep your hands upon them. Keep them safe. Minister to their hearts, Father. Lift them up spiritually, God. Give us power, the anointing power, God, to overcome the things that struggles, the trials, God, the tribulations, the things that would keep us out of your word, the things that would prevent us from praying, Father. I ask you, Lord God, for your hand and your guidance, Father, that we would move beyond this, Father. And, Lord, receive and get into the place, Father, that you are calling us to. Lord, and it's about you and your people, Father. We just thank you and praise you for this opportunity, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.